Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, no, you need me in the middle because mine's the presentation with no photos or pictures. It's the managerial one. So. And then Brian, I know because I've been looking over his shoulder, has got some pictures. So. Only two, but they're good ones. Here to talk about managing the National Career Service when it's being launched and some of the nuts and bolts around and challenges around managing it. I'm going to skate quickly over the first couple of slides because this is really just to remind everybody of the framework which has set this up. Government policy, the New Challenges, New Chances, which was published just before or just after Christmas, which contains the policy. And by the way, I'm told this government are determined there won't be any further policy statements around careers or skills for, you know, a couple of years, which is good. Some stability around this would be really welcome. The autumn statement gave us the money. The education bill gives us the law. The statutory guidance for schools is eagerly awaited. Brian is going to say a lot more about that in his presentation. But I chased this again with my department 2 days ago and said, when's it coming? And they said, we've chased DfE and we think it's imminent. So it's imminent. Careers guidance publication in January and the establishment of the National Career Service. Now, this is planned for the launch on the 5th of April. I say planned as opposed to it will be on the 5th of April because when minister is involved, you know, sometimes these things can go awry, but that's the plan. And we do want it to be a big noise and to be prominent and to get publicity, which means turning up at the venue at 7 a.m. to catch the morning news and to catch as many of the media as we can. So we do want to give it, you know, as much of a splash as we can, but it does depend on politicians' availability. And luckily, I can say it's on track for April 2012. Well, that's lucky, given that we're going to launch it on April the 5th. Deirdre has said quite a bit about vision already, but this is for the long term. That's the intention. And for careers to be at the heart of the system. Now, it's located within the Skills Funding Agency at the moment for a reason. It's at the heart of the further education system. That's not to the exclusion of schools or higher education or any other pathway that young people or adults might take. But the world of FE is incredibly diverse and powerful and broad, and it's a good place for some of the infrastructure around the Career Service to be located. And being close to all those FE stakeholders, I think, is really powerful for the service. It is about setting a gold standard, and, you know, it isn't my job to set that at all. You know, my job is to implement government policy and get something up and running and make it work really well. The gold standard job is your job and the job of, you know, policymakers and professionals and users of the service to tell us what high standard is. And that's not something that's going to be declared and set in stone on the 5th of April. It's going to have to evolve. I think everybody's probably got an idea of what gold standard looks like, and it'll probably differ quite a lot. And over the next 2 or 3 years, we want to take on board as much of that as we possibly can and make sure that we've got a service that can be tailored to different people's ideas of high standard. I think we already do have a visible, respected careers profession, but as Deirdre said, it's not visible or respected enough, and recent, you know, difficulties and tribulations haven't helped. So a really important part of the service is to promote careers advice and guidance as a profession and stabilise it for the future. Deirdre's talked about the market. It is government policy, it's Treasury policy for a market to be developed. This does present an awful lot of opportunities for organisations and individuals to make a market. And national profile and visibility is going to be important. So, no one intended to fall off a cliff on the 4th of April and try and climb another one on the 5th. Managing this has always been about trying to create a sensible transition from what we've got at the moment, primarily next step, to a new National Career Service with a different focus and a different policy for young people and adults. It's very much about building on the best of next step and connections and trying to fill some of the gaps that possibly not such good practice has left behind, with a focus on professional independent guidance, not necessarily always delivered in a uniform way, underpinned by really up-to-date labour market information, which I don't think anyone would claim that what's available online at the moment is right, and it's certainly not always applicable across the country. If you're looking for something in Liverpool, you don't necessarily want a load of national statistics when it's going to be completely irrelevant to what your opportunities actually are. On the other hand, labour market information isn't about pinning someone down to a few streets where they live. So, and we're looking at how we can be a lot more responsive to individuals around their, you know, queries and interests around labour market information. And there's a requirement to be accredited to Matrix, which is the most credible standard that we could find, that we want to promote, that government has put its faith in. As I said, we work in partnership with the vast range of key stakeholders, both in the careers environment and in the wider environment, particularly around the further education environment. And a very important strand of our work at the moment is managing the sort of co-location of what's currently Next Step with, in particular, job centres, because this is a key priority for Chris Grayling and John Hayes. And we've had a project to really deepen the presence of the Career Service in job centres. That is not to identify the Career Service solely with job seeking. So, you know, there is a tension and it's difficult to get the balance right. So it's not about saying this is about the unemployed or this is about looking for jobs. But, on the other hand, we want to provide the best possible information, advice and guidance to those people that is broader than simply sitting in front of a job advisor, you know, would do. And ministers have real ambitions for that. And I think at the moment, Next Step is co-located in about 2,500 locations, no, not just job centres. And one of John Hayes' biggest passions is to make sure that that continues to roll out and be really successful. But only you can actually tell us which, you know, what works and what doesn't. Because what's right in one community will be hopeless for another. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all policy. We're also keen to make sure that when young people walk through the door of what is an adult service, they don't get told to go away. And now this is a difficult tension in terms of different departments and policy areas. So we're planning to have some kind of triage service which looks at how to signpost young people forwards. But as Deirdre said, because we don't have a clear picture of what's available at the moment, that's going to be a real challenge and we're going to need a lot of help in designing something that works. This may seem obvious, a focus on achieving positive outcomes for customers. Of course, that's what everybody wants. The process of acquiring information, advice and guidance remains absolutely key. But there will be a focus on outcomes because every comprehensive spending review, the Treasury potter along and say, and what's the point of this? They do that in a whole range of different areas. The other area which, you know, they will always bring up is adult community learning that isn't, you know, the vocational qualification side. That's the other thing where they always say, well, what's the point of that then? And they do this with careers, information, advice and guidance every single time. They want to know what the outcomes are, what they're buying, you know, what's the contribution to economic growth and productivity. And we all know it's much subtler than just saying, well, it's that. You know, information, careers, advice and guidance makes a massive contribution and we have to try and quantify it and round it up for those people. And they will continue to ask those questions, even if deep down they're not really as cynical and sceptical as they sometimes appear. And finally on this, we have to get national marketing and awareness raising right. Really difficult because there's been a freeze on national marketing since the coalition came into power for good reasons. We managed to get an exemption, which has to go right to the Cabinet Office. Even Vince Cable can't sign this off. It's to go to Francis Maude to sign off. Anything over about, you know, 50 grand has to go. But if we don't tell people about the service and what's on offer, you know, you can't just do it by word of mouth. It's very frustrating. We know that traffic to the Next Step website and helpline has dropped massively since we stopped just having things on screen, on billboards, on the radio. So we've got an exemption, and I think we just need to keep lobbying for more. Because in the end, it'll save the government money, because more people will access a service that has the capacity to deal with them. In terms of managing this transition, we have the prime contractors delivering Next Step. Their contracts run for at least another couple of years. We need stability of the service while we continue with our design and our ambition. We've made variations to those contracts, which are all now in place. We have not yet made a decision about re-procurement. We will re-procure the National Career Service, but we haven't made a decision as to when. We need to make sure, as I said, we're not going to fall off a cliff, and that all organisations that have an interest in delivering this have an opportunity to build capacity and then compete in the market for the work. We're completely introducing the new National Career Service brand for April. If anyone says next step after April the 5th, there'll be trouble. And I'm sure people are going to go around spotting, you know, posters in job centres that haven't been changed. And, you know, that's quite a big job in itself. We need to take account of the parallel developments on the youth contract with the guarantee of a careers interview for 18 to 24-year-old job seekers. And that has to be part of our design and thinking. The lifelong learning account is a separate product within the National Career Service offer, which, you know, once you understand it and can use it and interact with it, as I've done much more over the last few weeks, I can see the point of it. But it's very difficult to explain blind to a group of people as to what's attractive about it. And I'm also responsible for bringing in the introduction of loans for further education courses from, well, it's not next September, the September after. For the first time for post-level three, adults will have to take out a loan for any kind of government subsidy. And again, that's not been done before. You know, we've got an enormous amount of information and guidance to give to people around what that means and what the benefits, as well as the risks for them might be in that. So we've got to take it, all that on board as we design the new service and think about what kind of messages need to play out. And this is taking up an enormous amount of time. We've actually got to move the service, the Careers Information Advice Service for offenders in custody, from one set of providers into the National Career Service, which sounds simple, but there are two implications, you know, cost implications, and that is taking up an enormous amount of time. And it's really good because it's about saying you're not different in terms of your needs for careers advice and guidance because you happen to be in prison. You know, and you need to be dealt with by the professionals and accorded that attention. You know, so moving that into the centre of the National Career Service is good, but it's another managerial job. The online and helpline service will be available for young people and adults. It's available now, new improved version from the 5th of April. And the most enormous amount of effort and testing going on to make sure that that works and works as well as it should be. I sat in Sheffield with the designers on Tuesday and played with the website, and it is much, much more 2012. You know, people have such high expectations now of what websites should be and what they should do, how they should interact with them and whiz you through to all the links you need. And it does that. But it's not perfect. It'll continue to improve. And we need as much feedback as possible from advisors and from users as to how it can be better. And we're going to invest as much as we need to do over time. Not going to mention the schools bit again because Brian's going to look at that for us. I said I didn't have any pictures, but of course I do have some boring diagrams. Just to assure everybody that this is a circular process, a continuous process of design, development, delivery and review to which everybody will be able to contribute. It's not thought up by people in a darkened room. And that kind of consultation will be ongoing over the next 2 years as we work out how we really want to develop our ambitions. So as you know, we face our customers in three different channels, and there are some numbers giving you the information about how many people are currently involved. And the capacity is really important. We're massively underusing this capacity at the moment in the service because we can't tell people what exists, you know, well enough at national level. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we're sort of wasting public money at the moment through, you know, lack of investment in marketing and communications, and we've got to put that right. Hopefully, the 5th of April launch is one way to do that. We're working to ensure that all the job profiles are being reviewed and up to date and that sector skills councils play a key role in that. And the lifelong learning account lives and is a useful tool for everybody. Deirdre talked about the market. I genuinely believe this is a real opportunity for those who want to make an entrepreneurial approach to careers to sell to a whole range of organisations. But clearly, you know, there are capacity issues and time issues, and that's going to play out with interest over the next couple of years. Just a quick note on funding. The budget from the Department for Business Innovation and Skills for the service is about £84.5 million for the year we're just about, financial year we're just about to go into. And that has to cover everything, delivery, development. IT is probably the infrastructure to run this. And then it's nearly £5 million from the DfE for the helpline service for young people. And we manage the delivery through 14 national and regional contracts at the moment. And then there's a whole range of subcontractors underneath that layer. I won't cover the same ground as Deirdre on the careers profession. Just to finish then, the challenges. What does it mean in terms of professional development towards chartered status, getting that right and making sure that's motivating and inclusive for the whole workforce? We need to demonstrate the positive outcomes and the benefits of information, advice and guidance constantly, yes, to the Treasury, but also to the users and to everybody involved. We need to make sure that this sort of looks different, that it's not just a rebranding of what was there before. I think we'll achieve that, but it's going to be even better over time as we develop much, much more tailored services and ways to use the expertise and skills of everyone involved. And we've also got to manage the expectations of customers and stakeholders who will probably see the words National Career Service and think it's here. And we need to describe, you know, really clearly what it actually is and how it can be utilised and how that capacity can be drawn on for everybody. So a lot of management challenges, that's our job. We can only improve and make it better if we make sure we consult and we've got the participation of everybody in helping us with the design and development and evaluation.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.